Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, Yahweh, Our Restorer. And I'm teaching from the book of Nehemiah. In fact, I'm teaching from both books, Ezra and Nehemiah, because of the message that both contain about restoration. And so there is a powerful and compelling message in both books that we need in order to understand that God or Yahweh is the one who restores heart after there has been catastrophe, after the heart has been overwhelmed by sorrow or grief, after the collapse of a relationship, after the leaving of our appropriate center of worship, that is Yahweh himself, God does restore. And so there's a powerful message contained in both these books. And principally, I'm going to be looking at the leadership of Nehemiah and how God used Nehemiah for his great work. And later we're going to consider Ezra, whose name means help, a very powerful activist scholar. And Nehemiah, who had a very prestigious job of being the king's cupbearer, and a position that afforded him great political clout and an entree unto the king, who really respected Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an individual of incredible vision. And so because both the temple had been destroyed and because Jerusalem itself had been razed and because the walls had been broken down, God needed to raise up these strong leaders who could restore Jerusalem, not to her former glory, but who could restore the city and its worship center according to the will of God. And so it is, we have before us two wonderful books. Nehemiah is about visionary relationship. Nehemiah is about leadership. And leadership means influence or one who influences people. And he will certainly have to do that. He will certainly do that. He is a man of action. He is not one of mere talk. Leaders must prepare themselves for a difficult work because it won't be easy. And so leadership understands this. And it will be Nehemiah's role to go back to restore the walls of Jerusalem. it was Ezra's task to begin to restore the temple itself. Three, there is no winning without warfare. There is no opportunity without opposition. There is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God say, let us rise and build, the Satan says, let me arise and oppose. And those words are from an individual by the name of Redpath. For leaders must have a big vision, and Nehemiah had one. Leaders must have a big vision, and they must also be focused on the execution of that vision in order to bring it into reality. And so Nehemiah had a business plan. And it was God who put the vision, who gave Nehemiah the vision, and it was God who had written out the business plan for him. It was God who put together the mission statement of the business plan. And within the capable hands of a man like Nehemiah, this great work would be done. Fifth, prayer is essential to leadership. If your vision is so big that only God can accomplish it, then obviously you must pray. And we read in chapter 1. Of Nehemiah about his great prayer of confession and humility, in which he used the collective pronoun we. Very important. And so we see this very brilliant man, this very capable man, was also a very humble man. And he aligned himself with the clan or with the people, or his people, by saying we. Sixth, if prayer isn't absolutely necessary to accomplish your vision, your goal isn't big enough. If prayer isn't absolutely necessary to accomplish your vision, then your goal isn't big enough. When the delegation had come from Jerusalem and spoken to Nehemiah about what was going on, we read in chapter 1 and verse 4 that Nehemiah states, when I heard these things, well, let me start at verse 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Verse 4. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We are going to see that Nehemiah is both a man of compassion and action. Nehemiah acknowledges the greatness of God. And the great prayer that we have in chapter 1 is the prayer of a man of action. Now, please remember that Nehemiah enjoyed security and prestige as the king's cupbearer. There was no need to be concerned about the needs of people hundreds of miles away. He had a great and wonderful life. He could have just lived out his days following or doing what the king wanted him to do, and he would have had a wonderful life. But Nehemiah loved the Lord, and he loved the Lord's people. He loved the city that the Lord loved, the city where God said that he would place his name forever. It was now a city that needed him, that needed his extraordinary ability. Isn't it interesting how throughout the scriptures, God calls these very capable and brilliant people to do his work, calls them out of idolatry, as he called Abram, out of Ur of the Chaldees. And remember how God used Noah, whom name means rest, as the great prophet to speak or warn the people about the coming Mabel or the great cataclysm that was to come upon the entire earth because of sin. And remember how God used Enoch and his great decision. He determined within himself that he would follow God. And then God chose the patriarchs. God chose Joseph as the one who would save the patriarchal family from famine. And God also blessed Egypt through Joseph. And then God called Moshe, or Moses, to lead his people out of Egypt, a word that means double distress. And so God, this was the Exodus, the way out. Exodus means the way out. And here we are in Ezra and Nehemiah, we are talking about the second Exodus. The second Exodus was out of Babylon. The first Exodus was out of Egypt. Isaiah chapter 40 speaks of the second Exodus. And so God's plan may be delayed, but it is never stopped. Sin always delays the work and the will of God. If you remember the Exodus, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we are told that 40-year journey, or that journey of 39 years and 11 months, should have taken only 11 days. But because of unbelief, because of a failure to believe God, because of a slander against the character of God, that 11-day journey took those many years. And God said that their carcasses, that is, speaking of his own people, the ones whom he had redeemed, the ones for whom he had provided food, the ones who had marched through that fierce wilderness and that hot 110 or to 115 to 120 degree sun, God provided his Shekinah glory by day, the cloud by day, to shield them from that sun, that hot desert sun. God made provision for them. God made sure that their clothing remained intact, and God made sure that their sandals on their feet did not wear out or break down. God provided water for them. God provided their food. But their sin, their desire, was not toward God, but toward their own lust patterns. And so it was their unbelief that hindered entrance into the promised land. And so throughout their history, one will note this situation. In the book of Judges, we read about the seven apostasies, that is, seven, the number of completion, indicates what had happened throughout their history. The complete failure to trust God. They left God. The northern kingdom eventually left God and wholeheartedly went in for Baal worship. The kingdom suffered disastrously under Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel's father given himself completely over to Baal. And Jezebel's name is very interesting. I don't have time to go into it today. But it was under Jezebel and Ahab that the northern kingdom entered into state-sponsored religion. Eventually, the Assyrians led them away, took them away from their homeland because the homeland had become polluted with the most debased type of worship and practice. Today, we tend to speak of spirituality in a generic sense or in a monistic sense. We speak of a spiritual monism as if all spirituality is generic or the same. And just look around today and very carefully observe what is going on in our culture. Look at the breakdown. Look at the institutional collapse that is going on around us. Look at the education system. From a word, educare means to nurture. We have long left that ideal. It is living a very interesting time. But I want you to carefully note that during this time of great need, God raised up Nehemiah. Nehemiah prays to God, and we read in chapter 1, verse 4, that Nehemiah states, "For some days I mourned and fasted." And verse 5, "Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his spirit of love, his covenant of love." Significant. His chesed, his love, his covenant of love. And see, God's people have violated the covenant, not God. In Exodus 20, God gave his people the 10 words, or what we like to call the 10 commandments. And it was law stated in the imperative, from which there was no recourse. Shalt not. Thou shalt not. God states that he is a jealous God, and his glory he will not give to another. And God's love for his people. Deuteronomy 6:4. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Echad, a compound unity. Hear, Shema, to hear or to listen with a view to obeying. To hear or listen with a view to obeying what is heard. One of the words in the New Testament that has to do with a failure to hear appropriately is translated as disobedience or sin. And that occurs in Romans chapter 5. By one man's disobedience, sin, harmatia, entered into the cosmos, harmatia. And that word disobedience means a failure to hear appropriately. And so sin, or one of the words that has been transliterated, is that particular word. It has come to us as sin, and it is a failure to hear God. This is you to obeying. In the Greek, it is akouo, to hear with a view to obeying. Now, we stress this word because the significance or our biblical teaching is designed to impact the will of the auditor. It is designed to change or the direction of the will. It is designed to impact the volition so that the individual will know how important it is to obey the Word of God, because the Word of God protects. The Word of God builds up. The Word of God provides the blessed assurance that we all need. Now, Psalm 119, which some people believe was written by Ezra, talks about or teaches the importance of the Word of God in our lives. The importance of the Word of God. Now, this is what Psalm 119 states in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant has smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decree. The law from your mouth, okay, is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. See, the Word of God, again, is being acknowledged here as being alive and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Nehemiah knows that the Word of God is alive and powerful. Nehemiah will be God's sharp instrument, God's capable and able instrument, because his heart will be prepared. His heart will not be overwhelmed. Yes, he will have challenges, and he will face challenges. God is sending him in to do a great work, and he will rely on God for this great work that God has called him to do. This is ministry. And ministry is never easy. Yes, it may seem in some respects that Nehemiah's work is going to be glamorous because he has access to Artaxerxes. But Nehemiah is going onto the battlefield. And he will be on the part of the battlefield where the fighting is the most heated, where the fighting is the most intense, where the battle is white hot. But he will have within his heart the Word of God. The Word of God will be his protection. God has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, no, never, no, never, no, never. Nehemiah will understand this. And he will depend on Yahweh Elohim. And God will use him in a fantastic way. Yahweh indeed is our restorer. And Yahweh is going to use human instruments for his great work of restoration. He is going to use Nehemiah. And before that, he used Ezra. Nehemiah and Ezra will get together, and a great work will be accomplished through them. There are also other prophets who will come along to encourage the people, because spiritual work is difficult work. And these persons will find that they need God in all that, in every aspect of their lives, because the enemy will be there attempting to dissuade them from their great work, attempting to get them to leave off what God wants to accomplish. But these two books, these two wonderful books, have been left to us that we might study them very carefully and learn some very important principles from them. And I want to say to you, after almost 30 years in ministry, I have to go back and reread these books time and again for myself in order to help me to grow spiritually. And please stay with me. And we will learn so much from Ezra and Nehemiah. We will continue the study tomorrow on the show. My name is Dr. Cy Ridge. Have a wonderful day.